Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This week we are excited to have John Hino as our special guest. So welcome to the podcast, John.
Thanks, Damon. It's great to be here with you.
So John, with all of our guests, our first question is, what has God been highlighting to you recently? So John, how's God been working in your life?
Yeah, so this past Christmas, I contracted COVID. And because at the time I had a couple underlying conditions, it probably took me longer than most people to recover. So I had a lot of time to isolate, and the good part is spend a lot of time with God. And for me, my go-to place is in my backyard, just spending time with God. So one day I was sitting down in my backyard, and just kind of spontaneously I asked God, God, how can I have peace and joy in my life for the rest of my life? And so I felt like that day and for the next month, God started highlighting things to me on how I could have more peace and joy in my life. So I thought I'd share three things that stood out among many.
Awesome.
And so the first thing that I felt like he downloaded to me was, having true peace and joy in our lives is a choice that we make, a choice that we make every day. God has already given us his peace and joy. And I think of John 14:27 that says, my peace I leave to you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled. And so... all I have to do is just receive it. And so what I do now is every morning when I wake up, I say out loud, Lord, today I receive your peace and joy. And there's something about doing it first thing in the morning that sets the tone for the whole day. Now, the second thing is that I realize throughout the day, Satan will try and steal and rob our peace and joy. And I think of John 10:10 that says the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I feel like one thing that he tries to rob us of is our joy and our peace. And so the second thing that I do is I declare in the morning that today nothing will rob me of the peace and joy that God has already given me.
Wow.
And yeah, and it's amazing because, you know, I could say that and then someone will cut me off on the road, right? Or maybe I listen to the news and, you know, the news is mostly negative. And so things will happen. You know, my stocks will crash. But because I've declared that nothing will rob me of God's peace and joy, then I'm able to catch myself. I'm not perfect, but most of the time I'm able to catch myself and declare on the spot. And I think for me the key has been to declare immediately after the enemy tries to rob me of my peace and joy, to declare that, nope, I'm not going to let you rob me of God's peace and joy that he's already given to me. And then I'm able to let it go and move on. And you know, I think of that second part of John 10:10 that says, you know, the enemy came to steal, kill, and rob, but God came that we might have joy and have it more, or was it peace? Peace or joy, and have it more abundantly. And I feel like that's what God intended for us to have.
Yeah.
And so the third thing is I have to I find for me one of my favorite verses is Philippians 4:6-7. And it says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God, and then the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So for me, the third area is thanksgiving and having a heart of thanksgiving. And what I'm finding out is there's something that there's something that that God does when we have a heart of thanksgiving. It's almost like it takes the attention off of internally, off of me. Mm-hmm. You know, everything is about me. Oh God, why did this happen to me? And it's me, me, me. But when I have a heart of thanksgiving, now it's shifted away from me, and now I can project externally, and be thankful for and it's amazing how when. So what I do is, that's the third thing that I do in the morning when I wake up, is I say one thing that I'm thankful for. Mm. And, you know, it could be my wife, my kids, my health. And it's just amazing how that changes my mindset, shifts my mindset. And I honestly, sometimes I'll just wake up and I'll say, God, thank you that I'm alive. Because I the other thing that he's showing me is every day we wake up and we're breathing and we're conscious is a great day.
Yeah.
Because we have the opportunity to reflect the image of Christ in us. Mm. And, you know, I just realize now that, gosh, that's such a privilege that we have as sons and daughters of Christ to represent Christ and to reflect his image. So those are the three things that I do. That's kind of my formula. And I wish for your listeners and for our church family that they can have more of God's peace and joy in their lives.
Wow, John, that is so amazing. And you know, really, I feel like that is a perfect aspect of what God's been teaching you, is really what this podcast is all about, right? Is we want our people to be able to flourish in any circumstances, right? And I feel like the three things that God has been leading you in, that he's asking you to do, are awesome, simple steps that all of us can do, right? It's like we can do all of those things really Absolutely. Early, first thing in the morning, just, you know, take one of those steps. And they're really simple. And I think the way that you laid it out is amazing, because I think that even if we're doing none of those right now, we can take those little steps and it could help us to receive God's peace and joy each day. And
Yes. And
if we're able to receive God's peace and joy each day, it doesn't matter what the enemy is throwing at us, you know, it will be flourishing more than we were the day before. And
yes,
I think that's
absolutely.
That's awesome. It's neat, because I feel like with each of the guests that we've had so far, like the things that God's been highlighting in their lives are just things that this podcast is all about. It's helping people to, no matter what circumstances they're in, be able to flourish in Christ. And I think that's amazing. So John's one of my favorite people, because, you know, I feel like with Ahava, which is our church company, he's been influential in helping us to determine our identity as a company. So that's one of the reasons that I wanted to bring John on, really early on in our podcast life. And if you want to know a little bit more about our story together with Ahava, you can listen to our Catalyst Sermon podcast or check it out on our YouTube channel. The title of that one was Flourish with Ahava. But I wanted to talk to John a little bit about professionally some of the things that he's doing. He's professionally, he creates training materials and curriculums. He does some things that are international. He does some things that are local, which is amazing. But one of the things that I've really been impressed by with John is that he's really tried to incorporate his faith and into his work. So, John, can you expound on that a little bit? How have you been trying to incorporate the things that God is doing in your life with the things that you're creating and the ways that you're relating to the people that you're training?
Yeah. So my background is in as an external corporate trainer, and that's what I started off in. I started my own company, and I did workshops throughout Asia. And so when I started doing these workshops in Asia, everything from leadership training to communications, influence and persuasion, emotional intelligence, those type of subjects, I started to, well, first of all, when I did those workshops in the corporate world, I was very restricted about, you know, how I would incorporate my faith into the workshops. I couldn't openly share my faith. So my strategy when doing those workshops was just to try and connect with people.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that that's a really characteristic of our church, is connecting with people. And so I remember one workshop that I did in the Philippines, in Manila. And the president of the company made an effort to tell me, John, I just want you to know that we got rid of our past trainer. He was an American guy, and I know you're an American guy. Mm-hmm. And so I said, well, what happened? And she said, well, because when 5 o'clock came and the workshop ended, he just wanted to leave. And so I came to realize that, oh my gosh, with this group and in the Philippines, they're very relational. Mm-hmm. And so it's not just about showing up and helping them by doing a workshop and then leaving, but it was that time of spending together and having dinner with them, having mm-hmm. lunch with them. And so from that experience, I decided that, you know, I'm just going to try and connect. I'm going to make that my main focus of all these different workshops, is trying to connect with the people, mm-hmm. with the participants. And it was great. I made some great connections. I don't know if you've ever eaten balut. Have you eaten balut before?
No, I've heard about it, and I am not interested in eating a balut.
Yeah.
So well, for those of you that don't know, I'm pretty sure it's like they call it the 1,000-year-old egg or something like that,
oh,
right?
Oh, that's different. I think that's more Chinese.
Oh.
It's a duck embryo.
Okay, a duck embryo.
But they were very gracious to me. What they did was, when they first had me try balut, of course I couldn't refuse, right? Mm-hmm. But they were very gracious. They gave me a balut, a duck embryo that wasn't quite formed yet. So it was more like a hard-boiled egg with some veins in it. And that was easy to put down. And so with each subsequent time that I went back there, it got more and more developed until the very last time that I tried to eat it, you know, it had the beak and the feathers, and I nearly choked to death.
Yeah, not interested in that.
So they were gracious enough to allow me not to finish the whole thing. And by that time, I had built a pretty good relationship with that group. But I think they really appreciated just the connection with them. And so what I find is that as I'm able to connect with the participants, then I feel like God tells me, okay, keep your antennas up, because I'm going to give you an opportunity to share your faith.
Mm.
And so another workshop I did in Mumbai, India, this was great too. Similarly, like the Philippines, they invited me for dinner afterwards. And in India, there's 21. I think it's 21 different languages that are spoken by the different. You know, depending on where in India you come from, and the group that I was training, working with, they represented, I think, about 15 of the 21 different languages that mm-hmm. are there, or dialects that are spoken in India. And so one night we're all sitting around in a circle, and one of the leaders said, I'd like you to sing a song in your language. And it was the most beautiful thing, hearing all the different dialects sing their favorite song. Mm-hmm. And of course they had me sing a song as well. So I think I went back to my Motown days you know, I've got sunshine on a cloudy day. So I sang that song. And, but what was neat was, after the workshop, you know, it was like a 3-day workshop. One of the guys came up to me and, you know, he felt comfortable enough to share that he had a problem with anger. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and so, you know, the question was, you know, hey, John, how do you deal with anger? And then at that point, I'm able to interject, you know, how my faith and, mm-hmm. and how I rely on God to help me in that situation. So that's kind of my strategy in the corporate world. But the interesting thing is, so as I'm doing all these workshops on all these subjects, it hit me that, gosh, you know, the material, the answers to all these subjects are right out of the Bible.
Mm.
I mean, you know, like today, or not today, but maybe in the beginning of the millennium, the big word was diversity and inclusion,
mm-hmm.
right? How can we be more diverse and more inclusive? And I realized that, oh my gosh, you know, they're talking about, like, this is the newest and greatest thing, but Jesus was the best example of diversity and inclusion. Mm-hmm. And I'm realizing that, you know, he went to Samaria to talk to a Samaritan woman at a well. Mm-hmm. And I think his disciples were like, "Why are we going to Samaria?"
Yeah.
And so Jesus was so inclusive. You know, whether you were rich or poor, whether you were young or old, mm-hmm. no matter what your profession was or your background, he reached out to people. And so I'm finding that so many of the answers are in the Bible to mm-hmm. corporate issues that come up. And so one day I'm sitting with a fellow trainer who's also a Christian, mm-hmm. and I said to him, I said, you know, how can I incorporate the Bible into some of these workshops without them firing me, right? Mm-hmm. Because I'm very restricted. I have to be careful how I word that. And so he gave me a great idea. He said, well, John, rather than say the Bible says and then quoting a verse, why don't you just say something like, there's an old book that says, you know, this, not knowing that, you know, to your participants that you're quoting the Bible. Mm-hmm. And so I actually did that during a workshop on building trust watching, being very careful about what you say in order to build trust. I caught myself saying, you know, there's an old book that says it's harder to win back the friendship of an offended brother or sister than it is to capture a fortified city. Mm. And I was trying to make that point about, you know, just watching the words that you say.
Yeah.
And with the participants probably not knowing that I'm actually quoting the book of Proverbs in that. So kind of transitioning from the corporate world over to workshops for Catalyst or I also do workshops for nonprofits. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite. I really love doing workshops with Catalyst and with nonprofits. That especially if they're Christian organizations,
yeah.
because at that point now I can share my faith and I can share my experiences, and especially praying for people. I think that's what I enjoy the most of my workshops with Christian organizations, is being able to say to someone struggling, you know, can I pray for you?
Yeah.
And just being able to do that on the spot without feeling inhibited, that gives me, I think, the greatest joy of those type of workshops.
Yeah, and it's really neat because, John, I feel like that's been something that you've been modeling, to me especially, is how are you able to take your faith and not just, you know, have it in a box where this is my faith on Sunday or this is my faith when I'm at home, but this is my faith and it's with me all the time. Where I'm at work, when I'm at home, when I'm at church, and the ways that you're sharing about how you're incorporating your faith into your work, it's amazing. And I feel like that's something that we all want to learn how to do. And because I think our world today is so compartmentalized, right? We have specialists for all of these different things. So we get used to keeping different things in different boxes, right? And so our faith a lot of times is only for church or only for, you know, before I go to bed or before I eat a meal. But really, what God wants us to do is recognize that He's with us all the time and integrate that in all of the areas of our life. And I think that's neat that you're able to do that. And it's neat, you know, some of the workshops that we've been able to work on together were some of the youth ones, like The Lion Within and Young Men of Excellence. Yeah. And right now, we're currently, one of the reasons that we're doing this podcast right now is to promote the second half of our evangelism series that the small groups are going through. And the second half is going to be all about testimony and about how are we able to share our faith through testimony. And I think that's one of the neat things about how God is leading our church in evangelism is the way that He's calling us to do it is kind of like John was saying before, is through connection and through relationships. And it's not so much about saying the right things and, you know, walking people through the Romans road or walking people through the four spiritual laws, but really just sharing about what God is doing in our life and how God can work in other people's lives. So John, can you give us a little bit of a teaser for the testimony series and how you think that testimony can be really a good tool for evangelism?
Yeah. So just to give a short background, Damon, shortly, a few years after the financial crisis of 2008, I was approached by my largest client, which was one of the largest banks in the world. Mm-hmm. And they invited me in and they said, John, we'd like you to help us develop a workshop. So thinking they were going to have me develop something on leadership development or sales or team building, they said, we want the workshop to be on storytelling. And I said, storytelling? Oh, well, what prompted that? And so they said, well, the financial crisis created a lot of mistrust. And what we want our private bankers to do is for them to be able to share testimonials of how they help people out of the financial crisis or during the financial crisis. And so I developed that workshop for them. And one of the first, I think it was the first day that I had to give the first workshop for their private bankers, was the same. This was in Hong Kong. It was the same day that Pastor Barry and his family were in Hong Kong for a gathering of Christians. Mm-hmm. And so I gave the workshop, and then I think later on I went to the gathering and I saw Pastor Barry there. Mm-hmm. And so I was telling him a little bit about this workshop, and as we were talking, I was thinking, gosh, you know, wouldn't it be great if this could be a tool for Christians or for even for Catalyst on and the workshop was all about how to effectively share your spoken testimony or a spoken story. And they're just practical, you know, ideas. And I thought, gosh, what if we could bring this to a Catalyst?
Yeah.
And so that kind of was the beginning of that workshop. We did five or six workshops at Catalyst. This was, I want to say, back in 2013, somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. And the workshop what it does is it gives five practical ideas on how to think about as you put your spoken testimony together that spell out the acronym STORY, STORY. And so that's kind of the first part of the workshop. The second part is where they actually give a short testimony. Mm-hmm. And then the third part of it that we talk about is what is the mindset to have when sharing your testimony? Mm-hmm. And what I mean by what is the mindset is what we discovered when we did the workshop at Catalyst is what we did during the workshop was toward the end, after they gave their testimony, we said to them, okay, you're going to be asked to share your testimony at Catalyst in front of the congregation this coming Sunday. And then we took a step back and gauged for their reaction. And then we followed up by saying, okay, what was the first thing that came to mind when we asked you that you were going to be required to share your testimony at Catalyst on Sunday morning? And it was amazing, the responses. The responses were, oh gosh, I was thinking, there's no way I'm going to do it because I'm going to be too nervous. Mm-hmm. Or reactions like, well, my testimony it's not that important. Mm-hmm. Or it's not that special. And I thought, no, you know, it's not about us. It's about God. Mm-hmm. It's about God working in our lives and God's hand in our lives. And so it is special, not because of us per se, but because of God's hand working in and through us. Mm-hmm. And so we included that section in the testimony workshop. So basically, I think we're still working through how the testimonies, the series will be adopted for the small groups, because it's a little bit different situation.
Yeah.
But in a nutshell, those are probably the three areas that it focuses on. Again, it's just kind of in a fun and insightful way, but very meaningful time discussing questions and being able to share our a testimony. And I really see it being something that will draw the small groups together, because they'll be hearing testimonies that maybe they haven't heard before. They didn't know about the person. Yeah. That are just amazing things and that they can build on with their small groups.
Yeah, I think that's one awesome thing about testimonies is just how they can connect people and take you to a place where you feel more in line with how the person's thinking, feeling, what they're experiencing. And then through that, we can experience, you know, their connection with the Lord and really feel that too. Like, wow, God is really, he's real.
Yeah.
And I want some of that too. And I think that's a neat thing about testimony.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I hope it opens up, it opens up some people's eyes to the fact that events that happened in their life, however small or big, had God's hand in it. Mm-hmm. And I share that the testimony that I give when I share examples during the workshop is I share about my dad. And without going into a whole lot of details, this was back when I was 10 years old. I lost a race. It was a race where we had to build some rockets out of balsa wood. And we got together with all the other young people to race these mm-hmm. rockets, and they were going to hand out medals and trophies. And so, because I love, you know, getting trophies and medals, mm-hmm.
We all do.
Yeah, yeah. But I was looking forward to this race, and bottom line was my rocket fizzled and died, and it didn't go anywhere. And I was so disappointed, and I'll just never forget walking out of that auditorium, embarrassed to even grab my rocket on the way out. And my father came up to me, and he put his arm around me, and he smiled, and he said, "Hey, John, you know, how about you and I going out for a hot fudge sundae?" And so we walked down the street to the local restaurant, and that was probably the best hot fudge sundae that I ever had in my life. But in that moment, my dad represented Jesus to me. And shortly after that time, I accepted Christ into my life. And I felt like a big reason why I did that was because I saw the heart of the Father in my dad. And so that I think that's the way that our Heavenly Father was able to minister to me. And that's it's to this day such a great testimony. I mean, it's a small event, but mm-hmm. I felt like it was so impactful to me being open to experience the love of our Heavenly Father. Mm-hmm. And so just a story as simple as that, where God's hand was in the story, is very powerful, very powerful. I mean, you know, Revelations 12:11 says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And I think that's what you shared was one of the messages that we want to share. No matter how small you feel the experience, the story was, it's powerful, mm-hmm. and not only can be an inspiration and an encouragement for Christians, but also for people that are non-Christians. Mm-hmm. And I think you touched on that, so that non-Christians can hear our stories and say, gosh, that same thing happened to me, and I thought it was coincidence. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was really God's hand in there. So, you know, you talk about using testimonies for evangelism, powerful tools for evangelism that I hope can reach people even outside the Catalyst and Christian community.
Yeah, and it's neat, John, with you sharing your testimony about receiving the Father's heart from your own father and how you were able to connect that. And right now, as a church, we're going through a Father's Heart series. And so if that was something that you feel like you want to experience is a Father's heart for you and your life, check out our Sunday sermons. That's coming up this whole month. We're talking about the Father's heart. And you can check that out on our Catalyst Sermon Podcast or our YouTube channel. And that's all the time that we have for today. Thank you, John, for coming on our podcast.
Yeah, thank you, Damon. It's been great. It's been fun.
And so to end today's podcast, especially since we've been talking about testimony and how testimonies are all about sharing God's story, as Uncle Kazganiko would always say, let's go, Jesus! Thanks for listening to the Engage to Flourish podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts. You can check out more of our content on our YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook pages by searching for Catalyst Christian Community. If you want to check out our church in person, we meet every Sunday at 10 a.m. at Stanford Middle School in Long Beach. We'd love for you to come out and experience being a part of our church family.